welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quick, fast, goofy, self-improvement podcast of awesome with a brand new intro.
I can't believe we have to redo the intro.
We lost our intro because we're not tech savvy here,
Dude, we're cool. We did like that 14 years ago.
I know.
I don't even remember what the podcast is about
at this point. Anyways. Dogs Are Smarter Than People is the podcast that helps you live a happier, quirkier life. I'm Carrie Jones, a New York Times and internationally best-selling novelist, and the guy with me is actually married to me.
For how long, we don't know.
But not much longer.
It's been a good run.
But this is my co-host, Sean Farrar. Join us as we start off with a random thought about the weirdness of life, and then we segue beautifully and smoothly into
dog advice? Dog tips?
Life advice. You've got this. You've got it too. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. It's random thought time, which is how we always begin our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
With a random thought?
Yeah, man.
Well, we used to do random thoughts. Now we do, like, crazy, silly articles a lot.
Yeah, man, because we stopped thinking.
No, we didn't stop thinking.
We did. We stopped thinking.
No, you used to have trouble going to sleep, so you'd be like,
Let's
do a random thought. Oh, are you asleep? Wake up. Let's do a random thought.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
And now you
anymore.
Fall asleep before I do, so there's no more random thought
in
bed.
I get up early. So, this Washington company, it's a salvage company, and they found a famous shipwreck in the water.
Yeah.
150 years after it went down.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It was the steamship SS Pacific, and it had a bunch of people on it who died.
Yeah.
Which is very, very sad after it collided with another ship.
Yeah.
And it had a ton of gold on it and coal on it.
Did they find the gold?
Well, they definitely found the ship. Yeah. And it's they found like two big circular depressions.
Yeah.
And those were the paddle wheels from the steamship.
Oh.
And like it took them about 12 or 13 missions before they found it.
Really?
Yeah. Super cool, right?
Where'd they find it?
In the water.
Wait.
I'm so sorry. And see, like, that's even the guy talking about it. You can hear the news reporter, right?
Yeah, why did it start by itself?
Because it just felt like doing it, man. So, anyways, isn't that amazing?
It's really cool.
Yeah, and, like, it's like, according to the guy, he told King5.com out of Washington, the state of preservation of this wreck is on par with any of the greatest shipwreck finds in the world.
Really?
Yeah, and he wants to make a museum and put parts of the ship on display there and tell the stories of the people who are on board and
look for the gold.
Yeah, and he found it because a commercial fisherman had brought up a piece of coal and he was like, huh? Because there was supposed to be coal on it. So he sent it to a lab and the lab was like, oh yeah, this is like the right time era and everything. Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
They also had a bunch of hides and oats and hops and a substantial amount of gold that said only two people survived.
Only two people survived?
Yeah, the crash.
325 people died. Well, the passenger list said 325.
Yeah. And
so about that many died, huh?
Yeah. Yeah,
good
they
Lord.
Actually think there were more people on than 325.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well,
isn't that sad?
There would have been crew.
Yeah.
And some, yeah, who knows?
So that's kind of like an amazing salvage or junk find in a weird way.
Uh-huh.
Although I don't know if you can call it junk. But these people, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, the world's largest junk removal service.
Yeah.
They also talk about the junk that they find all the time. Every year, they have, like, their top list of junk.
Oh, I bet that's very interesting.
I thought it was going to be interesting, but randomly, it's not as interesting as I thought.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so their top 10 weird junk list for 2022, number 10 is old pinball machines. I'm like, that's not...
It could be money if they're...
I think that's cool, though.
Depending on the condition and stuff, I can't get my words out here.
It's okay. It's just a podcast.
Yeah.
Number 9 is a pile of surfboards, which I think is cool. Number 8 was a giant teddy bear.
That is a giant. That's like a huge. That's bigger than a man.
Yeah, that's a big teddy bear. And then a one car door, like not the rest of the car.
Oh, that's just stupid.
And then number 6 is a vintage toy horse, which was the kind of stuff my daddy used to take out of the town dump and refurbish for me as a kid.
Man, they don't find much good stuff.
And then a life-size Wall-E.
Now that's cool.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then a violin wine rack.
There's a reason why somebody threw that away.
And then a giant mouth art. It's like a piece of art that looks
it's like a Rolling Stone smile almost.
Yeah, but it's like the size of a truck cab. It's huge.
It is huge.
And then an elephant statue, which
also very cool.
Would take in this house in a hot second.
Yes, you would.
I'm very sad I don't have that. And then a mascot head, which is creepy as hell. It's like this girl's face with a 1950s haircut, and it gives you Squid Games vibes.
It sure does.
And giant pearl earrings.
That's kind of...
She's is creepy,
that a,
man.
That's a real person wearing the head.
There's a picture of it on the post with a weird person. Not a weird person. The person might be totally normal, but...
They look weird with this head on.
Yeah,
yes.
It's like
the world's biggest creepy doll face.
Yeah, it's huge. It's very, very scary. So sadly, the only thing I think that we have for junk like that is our giant hand chair that a local artist made.
If we even have it.
Well, we put it in the Amira building. We put it in the local electrical
probably
building.
Probably a giant mouse house now.
No, it was a cool piece of
art. It was a cool piece of art.
We're just not that cool, man. We don't have giant mascot heads and giant pieces of art and violin wine racks.
No.
Damn it.
We don't have room for that stuff.
But someday we'll have a bigger
house. We have too much other gym. Hey, baby.
So our real podcast today is not about junk, I don't think. It's about this. I'll tell you what it's about. Ready?
Yeah, please do.
Filmmaker Peggy Callahan, she spent a ton of time listening to these spiritual leaders while working with author Doug Abrams. And that he co-authored The Book of Joy with the Dalai Lama and... Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
And so this woman, I'm not surprised because it's not like how to cook your meat.
That's right.
So Peggy Callahan wrote for the Today Show, their message is needed now more than ever. We're heading into the most wonderful time of the year, and yet so many people are struggling. We're struggling with how to bring joy to the world when life is wrought with stress and challenges. So... this team of humans also created a documentary called Mission Joy, Finding Happiness in Troubled Times, to try to help people find happiness. And so while she was filming everything, she had some takeaways from her perspective from listening to Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama. And so that's what we're talking about today.
Oh, okay.
Because it's important to try to find some joy, man.
Yes, it is.
Without the use of legal or illegal substances.
Oh, well, that's always your best case scenario.
Yeah, man. Right. You want to do it naturally. So, sounds wrong. Number one is always make fun of yourself. No, that's not it, but it should be. Number one is that, like, she says, quote, "We have at least some agency over the amount of joy we experience. Each of their spiritual traditions emphasizes that. No matter our circumstances, we can make a choice about how we're going to think, feel, and act. Neuroscience now backs that up. Research indicates that small acts of joy, such as expressing gratitude or sending a kind message, positively affects our moods."
I can mostly agree with that.
We say that all the damn time on Living Happy and our podcast, that like if you're, you don't read Living Happy, but but the point is that no, you don't.
Me too.
All right. So anyways, the point is that there's a ton of neuroscience, and it's, you know, hashtag so blessed, like how our bodies release happy chemicals by doing certain things. This isn't. So this isn't, why do you always go there? Does it, because it makes you happy?
So, I find joy?
No. All right. So that's not like brand new. And I don't know if we needed the amazing Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama to tell us that.
I don't think so.
But it's nice that they're reaffirming it.
Yes.
Number two is, quote, joy and sorrow are inseparable. So like she says that, you know, if you think about either of these guys' lives, they were full of adversity. You know, it was not easy lives that either of them had. But the fact that they're both were such joyous humans, right, shows that joy isn't just about everything going your way. She said, quote, they did indeed emerge from their challenges with sadness, but also somehow with more joy. Determined to not let hardship deplete their joy, they spent their lives developing practices that allowed them to actually see dark times as a fertilizer to grow an even richer, joyful life. As Archbishop said in our film, she says, quote, it is possible to walk through the fire and come out not broken. In fact, some suffering, maybe even intense suffering, is a necessary ingredient for developing compassion.
I don't know if I want to walk through a fire just to see if it'll make me happier.
I don't know.
I would try to avoid that if I could.
Yeah.
But, and I don't mean literally a fire.
But it can make us more compassionate.
That's true, yes.
But maybe we already have gone through our trials.
I think we go through them all the time, probably.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so number three is that joy is an inside-out job. The Dalai Lama and Archbishop Tutu, she says, taught me that true unshakable joy has to originate from within us. Since so many circumstances are outside our control, this is profoundly good news. But joy gets even more riotous when we reach outside of ourselves and deepen our connection with other people. Meaningful relationships are the mother lode of joy.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So that's pretty interesting, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
So from their book, they have a whole ton of like little snippets and quotes that people take and share all through the internet, and then get likes and retweets, even though it's not their stuff, because that's how the world works. But it's okay, because it's sharing goodness. And so one of those things that I thought was really interesting is that Archbishop Desmond Tutu talked about how in his villages in Africa, not all of them were his villages, but when a person would say when they're greeting you, how are we?
Really?
Yeah. And according to the book, and this is a direct quote, this understanding sees that someone else's achievements or happiness is a very real way our own. So rejoicing in others' good fortune really brings a lot of positive benefits. And that's so interesting to me, because as a writer, I know so many other writers who will, like, hate you if you succeed.
If you're successful.
Yep.
Or more successful than they are.
Yeah. And that success is determined by, oh, you got a book published. Oh, your book got an award. Oh, you got on the New York Times bestseller list. Right. Oh, you get to teach for Vermont College of Fine Arts, which really should have hired me. Oh, you get to teach for their writing barn, which I do. Like, right. You know, like, there's all these things that we get jealous about in our culture, especially as writers, but probably in other professions too.
Oh, yeah.
But this is the, and that never helps us unless it spurs us to do better. But this is really not something, it seems very cultural to do that. Like, it's the opposite of how are we, you know?
It is. Yeah. How am I?
Yeah. It's all like, hey, how are you? I was like, oh, I'm right. And you're different from the other person. But here it's, how are we? How are we doing? We're doing okay. And we got that connection, man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So chill and beautiful. And our stove is beeping in the other room.
Yeah, well.
I think it might be time for a random thought.
Already?
Oh, yeah, man. We've been talking too long for people.
No, we haven't.
We want them to have joyous parts of their day.
Well, this might be their joyous part.
Oh, no.
I hope not. But
oh, no, maybe Jesus.
Can have a little little bit of joy to it.
We could.
I mean, you can.
I think that was like the most important takeaway for me for that book, like in those things, is the how are we, you yeah. know? There's
That's
one,
pretty important.
Yeah, there's one other from the author himself, the co-author, Douglas Abrams, who says, especially today, there's not much focus on inner values in education. Then, instead of inner values, we become self-centered, always thinking I. I'm sorry, this is the Dalai Lama. A self-centered attitude brings a sense of insecurity and fear and distrust. Too much fear brings frustration. Too much frustration brings anger. So that's the psychology and the system of mind and of emotion which creates that chain reaction. And then Douglas Abrams writes, I pointed out that so often our parenting in the West is too focused on our children and their needs alone, rather than helping them to learn to care for others.
Yeah.
I think that's really big.
It all three of those are kind of talking about the same thing, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about not being self-centered.
Right.
And about how we're part of a community.
That's right.
And how being self-centered, like, makes you insecure, makes you fearful, makes you distrust others. And when you have that distrust for others, it's harder to have the compassion for others, but it's also harder to get things done.
Heck yeah, it is.
Yeah. And that's so true about town politics, actually. You fall into that sometimes, man.
Me?
Yeah.
What, with my anger?
Yeah, about, like, political choices on the local level, you often get distrustful. And that's okay, because you shouldn't just accept authority all the time. But it's also good to think how everyone can work together.
Well, that's the point. It's not supposed to be about authority and rule.
Yeah.
It's especially at this local level where they're purely representatives of the citizens.
Well, they're supposed to be.
They're supposed to be. Yeah. But they want everything under them to be representative of themselves and not truly a good cross-representation of our citizenry.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes me angry.
Yeah, that makes sense, though.
Let alone their piss poor decision making.
That's not what this podcast is supposed to be about.
Makes me happy too sometimes.
Yeah. So basically, what Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, which kind of goes into what you said and kind of wraps it up, is what the Dalai Lama and I are offering, and it's a way of handling your worries, which is thinking about others. You can think about others who are in a similar situation or perhaps even a worse situation, but who have survived and even thrived. And it does help quite a lot to see your part as yourself as a part of that greater whole of your community.
It definitely does. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, which is the whole point of my local news blog.
That's right.
The Bar Harbor story. Which no one listening to this podcast cares about, but that was my whole goal. But, you know, it's like trying to make sure that you give everybody as much information for free as possible, but also making sure that you celebrate the good in the community, not just the divisive aspects.
I do have quite a bit of good in this community.
So much good.
There's no denying that.
So much good.
Yeah.
And it's all Sean K. Farrar.
That's not true at all. Dog tip for life.
So this week, our dog tip for life comes from Pogi. And Pogi is a very cute little puppy who has some obsessive compulsive issues. And she likes to line up her toys all upon her doggy bed, right? And she said there's nothing wrong with loving your stuff, but you gotta love your people too.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
Well, she does love her people.
And sometimes her stuff is indeed junk. Like the fluff inside the dog
bed.
Well,
she makes it junk. She's a typical kid. She ruins all of her toys.
Yeah, she does. It doesn't matter because she loves them so
hard. But
she
spreads love like no other animal I've ever seen.
Most loving doggy ever.
She really is.
Yep. She'll French kiss you for the rest of your life if
She's
you like
She's got it down pat.
Be like Pokey. Spread love.
Spread the love. Thank you. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast,
Loving the Strange,
which we stream live
on Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah. We can't take much more.